Okay, welcome to The Tortoise and the Hare. When I got this assignment, I wasn't sure exactly what it was talking about. And I planned, you know, I was like, okay, so it's a slow student versus fast student. And then I thought, well, maybe I should just read this story again, The Tortoise and the Hare, and see if there's some lessons we can learn from it. So I thought it was really good. And so we'd like to read this story. Maybe we can practice our oral reading this morning, and maybe Austin, if you would start, let's read by sentence, and we're going to just go down the front row, and let's read this story.
A hare was making fun of the tortoise one day for being so slow.
Do you ever get anywhere? He asked with a mocking laugh.
Yes, replied the tortoise, and I get there sooner than you think.
I'll run you a race and prove it.
The hare was much amused at the idea of running a race with the tortoise, but for the fun of the thing, he agreed.
So the fox, who had consented to act as judge, marked the distance and started the runners off. The hare was soon far out of sight, and to make the tortoise feel very deeply how ridiculous it was for him to try a race with a hare, he lay down beside the course to take a nap until the tortoise should catch up. The tortoise, meanwhile, kept going slowly but steadily, and, after a time, it passed the place where the hare was sleeping.
But the hare slept on very peacefully, and when at last he did wake up, the tortoise was near the goal.
The hare now ran the swiftest, but he could not overtake the tortoise in time.
And so the tortoise won the race. My first thought was, you know, in a slow student versus a fast student, that the slow student is the one that needs to work on improving. But in this case, you know, who won the race? And sometimes going slow and steady is a lot better than racing through your work. How many of you have a student that is a slow student? Okay. How many of you have a student that's a fast student? Okay. Probably all of us have those. And there's a lot of different ways we could define these. A fast student versus a slow student. A slow student might be someone that just simply struggles, or maybe that just doesn't get their work done as fast. And in this case, was the tortoise messing around? No. Slow and steady. Isn't that what we want from our students? The hare was fast, but what was the hare's problem?
Just restful.
What's that?
He was restful.
Okay. Yeah, that was a restful classroom, right? Resting a little too deeply, maybe. Were you going to say something?
I just didn't stick with his assignment or stick with his...
Okay, exactly. Yeah, he did not stick with his assignment. Yes. He was too confident, okay? Confidence can be a good thing, but in this case, his confidence, what attitude did it cause him to have?
Carelessness.
Okay, that's a good one. He was careless. What else?
Pride.
He was proud. Mm-hmm. And this might be a problem that you have if you have a fast student. They might be careless. They might be proud. You know, think about this. Is it okay for your students to mess around just as long as they get their work done at the end of the day? You know, as a teacher, I guess you could not do anything about that and it wouldn't really cause a problem immediately. You know, if a slow student messes around, that causes problems with homework. But, you know, if a fast student might mess around and, you know, still finish his work at the end of the day and it could kind of be looked over and ignored, but is that really what's best for the student? A couple other lessons I want to pull out of this story. But first of all, I'd like to define a little more in depth. What are we talking about when we talk about a slow student? Let me tell you a story about two students that I had once. One of them was my brother, Micah, and then in his grade was also a girl, Christina. And both of those students were very gifted academically. And I want to be very careful when we talk about the fast student and the slow student. We're not talking about a dumb student and a smart student. There's There's no such thing as a dumb student, and every student is smart in their own way. I think we need to be careful how we use those words, because a slow student is not necessarily a dumb student. A dumb student is one that is, I guess there could be a dumb student if he's proud and not willing to learn. That's the only thing that would make, the Bible says the fool does not take advice from others. The fool thinks that he knows everything. But anyway, Micah and Christina were very gifted. Schoolwork was easy for them, and they just gobbled up the work as fast as I could give it to them. And it was nice because they were both in the same grade, and I could just let them go as fast as I wanted them to. Is there any handouts left back there? Okay. Anyway, so it was nice because I could just kind of let them go at their own pace, and they ended up doing a lot of extra work. They did typing. They worked. I think they would have done some Spanish as well. I had them do some extra assignments. It was nice that they could do that. And you think about it, they were both very competitive as well. And so when you have that, and you have, I think it almost makes it worse that it was a boy and a girl, because they were competing with each other and made it that much worse, or I guess better, depending on your perspective of it. But, you know, what happens when you have a fast student and a slow student in the same grade like that, especially maybe if you just have two, or maybe you have seven students, which might be more likely. Anyway, but back to a slow student. What really is a slow student? I had one student, and I'll just call him Joe. He was like the tortoise. He was a hard worker. I knew he had to work at home, and he was taught good work habits. I rarely ever saw him messing around, but he was just the type that it took him all of the day to get his work done. And he would often have homework as well, but he rarely saw him messing around. I mean, he had a good attitude about his work, good attitude about school. Come on up, plenty of seats here. Welcome. But he would, by definition, fit into the category of the slow student. Now, I had another student as well that never got his work done either, but he would mess around, he would get distracted. I remember one time he was sitting beside the window, and I saw him looking out the window and several times, and I'd say, you know, please get back to your work, or just make a motion to him, you know, catch his eye and make a motion to him. And finally, I just went over there and pulled the shade down all the way to the windowsill so he couldn't look outside anymore, because it was just preventing him from getting his work done. And I think he wasn't necessarily slow as in he wasn't even able, but he was simply just easily distracted. So there can be lots of characteristics. I'd like to hear from you. What are some characteristics of a slow student, maybe in your classroom, or what comes to your mind when you think of a slow student? What makes a student slow? Maybe we went over some of these already, but
lack of concentration.
Okay, lack of concentration. You could say he's just distracted easily. What else?
I have a student who's very slow just because he's so particular.
Okay, yeah, there you have it. Very particular. What else?
One of my students had a hard time writing, and like it took him too long to write. Sometimes he knew what he was writing before he got it written.
Okay. Was the handwriting neat? Or
he just had to work really hard to make it
neat. Okay, he just okay.
He had a hard time controlling his pen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. I have a few here. You know, often the slow student is one who struggles to master new concepts. It might just take a little bit more for them to understand the lesson. And again, it might be someone that is lazy too. But it's not always that way. You can't just pin a label and say, you know, this student is slow, so therefore he's lazy, therefore he's messing around or things like that. A lot of times there are ones that are working hard that are still slow. One overall characteristic that I would say that pretty much is true of all slow students And maybe this isn't always true, but most times. What would be something that would be common to all slow students? Can someone think what it might be? Okay, that wasn't what I was thinking.
Unfinished work.
Okay, yeah, that could be. Oftentimes, and this is just way off my rocker, but oftentimes I think a slow student, it seems like they do not enjoy school. And if you think about it, what are the things that you enjoy? Do you enjoy something that you're not very good at or something that you struggle with? I don't really enjoy playing Scrabble with my wife because she's extremely good at it. And she doesn't enjoy playing chess with me. So, you know, you don't enjoy something that you where you always lose. And maybe a slow student is just the reason they don't enjoy school is because they haven't been able to experience success. And they don't enjoy feeling like a failure. What are some problems now with a slow student? What are some problems that can result from those characteristics we talked about? One of those would be they can't keep up with the rest of the class. A slow student probably will not be able to keep up with the workload. And so this is something we have to deal with. You can't just ignore that. A slow student can get distracted easily. So that's something we need to work with, deal with. A slow student probably will get overwhelmed with all the work that they have to do. And a slow student requires a lot of teacher time. Any other problems that you can think of that a slow student might cause in the classroom? Okay. Yeah, that's true.
I'd want to get grumpy very easy.
Okay. Yeah, I had that too. You could almost see it first thing in the morning when they'd walk in the door. You could tell if it was going to be a good day or a bad day. Yeah, very good. And one thing I want to really caution you is in working with this student, let's be careful that are you trying to fix the problem? You know, maybe the problem is this requires a lot of teacher time. And so we want to fix the problem. We want to somehow do something to where that doesn't require as much teacher time anymore. And that's something that's not a good idea. You should be asking the question, how can I help the student? Don't ask how we can fix the problem. Ask how we can help the student. You know, if they can't keep up with the class, that might be a problem that we can't fix either. But we do need to help the student where we can. Now, the getting distracted one, or perhaps getting overwhelmed with the work, some of those things we can do some things about to help. But we're not focused on fixing the problem. We're not focused on making our lives easier. We're focused on helping the student, doing what is best for them. And the best way to help them, especially a slow student, is to show them love and acceptance where they're at now. If you think about a mother and her children, does a mother, if a baby is born, maybe look at the baby and say, "Oh, this baby's pretty ugly. I'm a hard time loving this one." You know, it doesn't matter. I've seen some babies that are. I've rarely ever seen a baby that's cute. So I'm not sure what girls see in them. But you know, the mother just loves the baby regardless of how it looks. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's God intended it to be. And as a teacher, you need to be the same way. Show love to your student, no matter if they're one that maybe causes you a lot of grief and takes a lot of your time and causes you to struggle with knowing what to do. Make sure you show them love and acceptance where they're at now. That doesn't mean we just let them stay where they're at. You know, God, He loved us while we were yet sinners. But He doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to grow and to become perfect like he is. Don't withhold your approval until they get 100% or until their grades are at a certain level. We as teachers, I'm very geared toward, you know, rewarding those 100%, rewarding the grades, good grades. We reward those, or we have something we put on their test, you know, awesome job or something when we see a good grade. But let's be careful not just to reward that, but also to reward effort. If we see that a student puts effort into the test or puts effort into it and works hard on it, especially a slow student, let's give them affirmation for that when they put forth effort. What are some solutions? Now, I'd like to go back to that story, the tortoise and the hare, and look at the very beginning of the story. What was the hare doing in the beginning? He was making fun of the turtle. Now, I don't know, I hope in your classroom this is not the case, but it is possible for other students to be making fun of the slow student for not getting work done. And hopefully that's not the case. And it should never be the case that the teacher makes fun of the student. Now, you might think, well, no, I would never do that. But be careful that you don't single out that student and embarrass them in front of their class. Now, they might get embarrassed sometimes, but we should try to be very careful that it doesn't happen because of us. Make sure you don't make fun of them or single them out. The classroom must be a safe place for our students. And that's one thing that he emphasized, Ralph Esquith, I'm not sure if I'm saying that name right, Flinney says in his book, the classroom needs to be a safe place for the students, a place where they can feel free to ask any question and maybe even ask the same question multiple times. And we're willing to answer that question for them and do it in a way that doesn't make them look foolish. Because there's nothing that a student is more terrified of, probably, than looking bad in front of his peers. I don't know, do any of you remember in school back to a time when you were embarrassed in front of your peers or that you looked dumb in school? I think that's probably one of the things that they're scared of the most. And if they get burned one time, then it's very likely they'll just shut up and not say anything and not participate again. Make sure that they can ask a question and you can answer them, or they can give an answer to a question without, you know, being made, or without the students, other students laughing at them or you laughing at them for a foolish answer. I know that I had one student one year who she was struggling, and that was the year I had 15 students, and I guess I shouldn't make excuses. I should have anyway, but I was in a hurry, and oftentimes she was struggling with the concept. And so I felt like, you know, the best way to work with this would be to have her come to the board and explain it to her on the board. And I realized later that that was really embarrassing to her, that I singled her out and had her come to the board. You know, now we had a classroom setting, so the desks were facing the wall, but it still felt like she felt like I was singling her out, you know, here. She's so dumb that she can't figure this out, so I single her out. And I'm sure at times I was frustrated with her because she didn't understand. And I think, you know, I lost her respect because of that, because I, in a sense, I was making her look foolish in front of the class. The others, you know, would have seen that I would ask her to come to the board to explain something, and it was just not the right thing to do. So be very careful about embarrassing a student. There's another story that he tells in this book about a student that his backpack was always just extremely disorganized. And so one day, the teacher, it was not him, but it was another teacher, just got so fed up with it. Just he was asking the student for a paper that he's supposed to turn in, and the student, of course, couldn't find it. So he grabbed the backpack and just dumped the whole thing out on the desk and asked another student to go get his camera, and he was going to take a picture of this mess, you know, just right in front of the whole class, embarrassed this student, and it turned out to be quite a fiasco. The parents got involved, and they were wanting to I think they were wanting to arrest the teacher, and rightfully so. That teacher never, I don't know, was ever able to regain the respect of his students. It's not just the one that you embarrass, it's also the other students. When you do that to one student, you lose the other student's respect as well. Do not embarrass them in front of the others. So again, what are some solutions to the slow student? Again, part of that is treating each student with respect, whether it's a slow student or whether it's a fast student. One thing you can do for a slow student is simply to keep them after school to finish their work. And at first, when I first thought about that, I think I was hesitant to do that because I felt that was too strict. You know, the student's probably going to really be mad at me for keeping them after school to finish their work. But I was very surprised. It seemed like every time I kept this student after school and I would work with him one-on-one, it was amazing how much better he could work with that one-on-one interaction. It didn't take long. It seemed like we could work about twice as fast after school when it was just him and me there working. And I would drive him home after we were done. And yeah, I thought he might be just kind of sullen and silent and with an attitude or something, but he was not. He was very friendly, and I think there was even a few times where he thanked me for helping him. I think, and it was a lot nicer for him because he often had to take home a load of homework, and maybe he was working on homework for several hours at home. And this way, he got it done, and he could go home and be free. There's no schoolwork left to do for that day. So that's one thing we can do for our slow students, I think, is to just keep them after school sometimes. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing it every time, but especially if they have a lot of homework and they need to catch up. And the hard part is when you have, if you check their work each day, perhaps you check it and then they correct it, then you have to check their corrections, and then they correct their corrections, and then you check their corrections to their corrections, and some of that can get kind of confusing after a while if it's not. So if you keep them there, we can get it all finished and not have to let it drag out day after day and get lost in the muddle. So that's one solution to the problem. Again, this is each student needs it, may need a different solution. The third thing I have is to carefully consider cutting back on their workload. And again, this is not something you do if the problem is laziness. And it's difficult to know sometimes what the actual problem is. But be very careful about that. And maybe carefully consider cutting back on their workload. If they're working hard, you know, perhaps they could do just the odd numbers in math or just the even numbers. Or perhaps they could just in science or history class, depending on the situation. Again, they might be just as well off just being there, listening to the discussion and participating even, but not having to do any written work afterwards, especially if you have perhaps a dyslexic student that has other work to do, or maybe they're doing Barton's or something, that they would not have that extra work to do, and you can cut back on their workload. Again, we don't want to make our students lazy, but yet, if we can help them out sometimes, that can go a long ways, if the workload is truly more than they can bear. So that is one possible solution to that. Another one is to have them do a work assignment with a fast student. Having a fast student and a slow student working together, they can help each other. And it's okay if the fast student maybe finds more of the answers than the slow student. They still will learn, you know, by writing it down and helping each other. They can maybe help each other get done. Maybe the slow student can actually help the fast student just slow down and be more careful. Maybe they'll have more time to write neatly or whatever that may be. Very important with a slow student is to discover and develop their gifts. Every student has talents and gifts, and I know especially students that are maybe not so good at school are extremely good at mechanics or building things, inventing things. Students like that are often very good at that type of thing, and I was probably in school the fast student. I was the one that messed around, still got his work done at the end of the day. But when it comes to mechanics, I am lost. That's one thing that frustrated me when I was teaching school is I would you know, in church afterwards, I'd be with the youth guys and be talking about trucks or mechanics or everything, and I felt so stupid. Like, I just didn't know anything about it, and you know, they knew far more than I did. So find out where your struggling student, where the slow student is gifted. Find an area they're gifted and draw it out. Ask them questions about it and let them. Maybe the clock gets broken on the wall, and the slow student asks the slow student if they can fix it, and let them do something like that to show their talent, so that the other students can see that they're gifted as well. So often, everyone sees how the fast student did such a good job and has this gift, but we need to let the slow ones display and develop their gifts as well. There's nothing wrong with having a harder time academically. That's just the way God created some people, that it just doesn't come as easy. But God has given everyone gifts. He's given you gifts, and we need to develop our gifts, if they're not the same as others, or even if we think we don't have as many as other people do. Allow them to taste success. And that's something that's very important for slow students, is to let them taste success once in a while. Let them have the joy of finding the right answer, or even getting their work done on time. Maybe we could figure out about how much work they can do and give them a certain amount of work, and then maybe they're able to get done with their goals that day. Or maybe they're able to discover something. We have to let them experience success if we want them to enjoy school. And when they experience it one time, that'll make it so much more enjoyable, and it'll incentivize them to work harder the next time. And again, back to this thing of showing them love. Show them that you care. Show them that you care about them. Take time with them. Maybe you have some other ideas. What are some other ways? Like, how do we show students that we care? How do we show them love in the classroom, especially thinking of the slow student? Do you have any ideas or suggestions? Okay.
And the board with cerebral palsy. That would like to use that.
Okay.
I did, especially his longer, some things he had to write. He was kind of jerky, was writing. It took him a while to write. That was one thing that really helped him get his work done. Is if I could just, he'd get this fight for a question, and I, can you write this for me, and so I write it quick while he tells me the answer, and just a couple problems that I've had, and it helped him a little bit.
You know, lots of affirmations.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can get really in the dumps because they're so far behind or not as smart as the other students.
And
I think you're actually just acknowledging, like saying, hey, is this really hard for you? When they actually can say, yes, this is really hard, it opens up the door for affirmation.
So common theme I'm hearing here is to simply talk with the student, communicate with the student, take time for them. Students are going to, they'll notice that when you take time to go one-on-one with them and talk with them about this. That's very important. And we need to show all our students love, of course. I think there should be things that we do, you know, meeting our students at the door when they come to school with a smile, you know, I think that's important when you have students. Ask them questions about things that happen at home or other things. Find out what their interests are and ask them about their interests and take an interest in the things that they're interested in. And I think in a lot of ways, a slow student, maybe I should have asked how many of you were slow students in school. But I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there's nothing to be embarrassed about that either, though. But anyway, I think a slow student actually makes a better teacher because they can empathize with those struggling students. And they can explain things in a way that often everyone can understand better. Okay, let's move on to the fast student. What are some characteristics of the fast student? Okay. Yeah, they're the ones that are done by lunchtime and or maybe a first break or something, and yeah.
Well, or maybe more of what I was pushing at is, I mean, as soon as they have a question, I need you now.
Oh, like that. Okay.
Sometimes they can get pretty sloppy.
Okay.
That's
an excellent point. Sometimes they tend to be sloppy. That was me. I think I had terrible handwriting. I had to really work on that after I started teaching school, is to try to improve my handwriting. And they're not always the smartest student. Again, we're not talking smart versus dumb, but sometimes the fast student, just because they get their work done, doesn't necessarily mean they're smarter. They're just, schoolwork comes easier for them.
Seems like sometimes, or at least I have one that rushes fast enough that he ends up making a lot of dumb mistakes.
Okay.
Just about like math, he could easily have gotten it more correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a fast student that gets a 90% sometimes maybe needs to do the test over again too, even if it's not a failing grade, if they just were sloppy and careless with it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. How long do you let them talk about their accomplishments without it being embarrassing?
Are you talking about school-related accomplishments or other at home or something?
Like work accomplishments.
Like, I got done my work at first break or something. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Just you kind of have to be able to know your student enough to where you can pick up that they're just too much.
Yeah. Maybe the thing to do there would be to tell them, if you hear them saying, you know, they got, let's say they're bragging about how they got done with the work at first break, tell them, well, I'm glad to know that. I'll try to make sure I have more work for you tomorrow. All right, very good. Good things. Again, at first I thought, you know, the fast student, do they require a lot of teacher time or not? And this is where it's up to you. Remember I talked about earlier about the fast student? They often can mess around a bunch or maybe do their work sloppily and still get done. And you could just let it go. You could let it slide. And maybe sometimes you don't have a choice if you don't have time to deal with it. But hopefully you do have time for all of your students, including the fast students. And sometimes they might require a lot of teacher preparation to keep them profitably engaged at school. I have memories of making chains with staples in my desk. This is when I was a student. Or have you ever done that? You got a calculator and you pushed 1 plus 1 and then hit equals and then equals and then equals and it just counts up, and I would see how high I could get. Not very profitably engaged. I guess my teacher wasn't watching very closely that time. But anyway, what are some problems now that you have with the fast student? And we maybe mentioned some problems. But what are some problems that we have with a fast student? Okay, that's a good one. They think they deserve free time at the end of the day.
And they grumble when they don't get it.
Okay. You know, that's an interesting point, because maybe sometimes we think of the fast student as a hard worker, but oftentimes they're the ones that fuss the most when you give them extra work, because they think, yeah, they got their work done. They deserve free time. That's good.
So I kind of have a question. If a fast worker does get their work done, oftentimes give them like an extra activity or something to do, like an extra practice sheet or something.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do you do? And then how much free time do you give them? Like, if you give them, let's say they do get their work done fast and you fill up the entire rest of their day with extra activities that they don't necessarily want to do, it'll kind of not inspire them to work very hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you know to reward them? Then if you give them all only fun things to do, then the poor slow learners, you know, they're sitting there watching them or whatever. So how do you know, like, what to do to the people who do have the free time?
That's a very good point. I want to talk about that more later, but thanks for bringing that up. What are some other problems? The interesting thing about a fast student, oftentimes, remember, they have lots of spare time. So what can happen with when a student has spare time in the middle of class?
They can become a distraction.
Okay. Distract other students. I think one time, now I wasn't always a bad student in school, but one time I wondered what would happen if I would, we had these tacks, you know, and we had these chairs that had this like plastic film over them. It was perfect for inserting a tack in the middle of the chair and then like taping it down to where that it would stay pointed up. And I wonder what would happen if I would do that. I think it was for my older brother. I did that. And yeah, it worked quite well. But that's one thing that might happen if a student has too much time. All right. Any more quickly?
Sometimes it seems like it depends how much they it seems like they don't tend to struggle, and then they get to a problem that is hard,
mm-hmm.
and it's easy for them to just rush through it,
mm-hmm.
or dismiss it because it's harder than what they think it should be.
Mm-hmm. So, how would they do it then?
Well, sometimes just in their head, like,
mm-hmm.
you can do different things with that, require steps to be written out or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
almost sometimes going so fast that they don't actually get the problem, or else wanting teacher help because
mm-hmm.
they're not disciplined enough to think about and actually think through it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay, so what are some solutions now for working with the fast student? How can we slow them down? How can we help them become a better person, help them to grow? I think one way to do that is simply just to make them do neat work. Their work should be neat, reasonably neat. If you cannot read their handwriting, then that'd be an excellent opportunity to have them, you know, maybe you have to erase the whole lesson and make them redo it. But their work needs to be reasonably neat. Another thing you can do is simply have them check over other students' work, or check over their own work again, possibly. Make sure that they, you know, see if they can catch mistakes. For example, I think it would be interesting, like when you check, especially a fast student maybe, when you check over their test, tell them that you're going to mark one more wrong than what they have wrong. You still keep their grade correct, but actually on their test somewhere, just mark a random answer wrong that is correct, and then tell them that, and then they can see if they can find the one that was right and not wrong. And that's a really, really good thing, because then they often figure out the ones that are wrong. They figure out why they got it wrong because they are carefully looking over each one. And again, assign them extra work. And this is getting toward to Austin's question as well. You know, oftentimes those fast students, they don't enjoy extra work. And so you have to be careful with that, because you don't want to just punish them for getting their work done early. There needs to be some type of reward for that, especially if they did their work well. And that's where you can maybe talk with them and see what their interests are. And if they have interest in certain things, you could give them studies in that area. Maybe they're interested in, maybe they would enjoy typing. Most of my students so far have enjoyed typing, and so that's something that they can perhaps do. Or maybe learning another language or something, learning Spanish, maybe that's something that they would enjoy doing. Or art projects, have them work on an art project. Maybe they could even, if they're an older student, you could perhaps have them plan an art class for the class. So, you know, we have to take their talents and use them in a way that helps us instead of, you know, taking up more of our time. I know Mike and Christina, one thing that I had them do, they both enjoyed books and reading, and so I gave them a project, and this was, it probably was about a month long, maybe 2 month long project, where they were supposed to write a story, and they had to edit it and everything, and I think maybe they helped each other some with that as far as editing each other's papers. And then they created a book, and I think they drew a picture for the cover and things like that, made a real booklet with their story in there. And that took up a lot of time and didn't require a lot of teacher help with that, but it gave them something to do. And I think they really enjoyed it. I don't know if they still have, my brother would still have his book or not yet, but it was something I think they really enjoyed. Another thing you can do is, and this is something that I think almost all students enjoy, is have them go help the other teacher. That's a real teacher training opportunity right there. Let them help the other teacher. I know my one year I had several girls that would get done earlier, and they would just almost, it was almost a competition to see who could get finished first so they could go help the other teacher. And yeah, so that can be a good thing. Or you might want to talk with the other teacher, make sure that they actually have stuff for them to do, or you might be causing problems for that teacher as well. But they could even help a slower student. Perhaps you could, again, like I said earlier, pair a slow student and a fast student together. But they could just help. Maybe there's a slow student that's working with a certain concept, you know, multiplying and dividing fractions or something, and you're busy with something else, and you say, hey, you know, why don't you go out and with a student and help them with, explain to them how to multiply fractions or something like that. That can be a way they can work together. And there's just something really beautiful about seeing a fast student working patiently with a slow student, and they're both helping each other in a way. Both the fast student and the slow student must be motivated to improve. That's something that's very important to remember. They both must be motivated to improve, because we all can improve. We all always should be trying to improve, and we want our students to improve as well. But in order for the student to be motivated, the teacher must be prepared. Preparation produces motivation. A teacher must be prepared if he wants the students to be motivated. And so if you expect your students to work hard, if you want your students to work hard, then you have to be willing to work hard as well. In the Teach Like Your Hair's on Fire, he says, you know, he wants his students to be nice. He wanted his students to work hard, so he resolved to be the nicest man he could be and to be the hardest working man so that his students, because the students often will model after their teachers. If you're lazy and unprepared, very likely your students will struggle with the very same thing, or they'll be the same way. All right, I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, how do we handle it now that if we have both students in the same grade? Maybe we've discussed some of this as well. And this is back to Austin's question now about, you know, how do we reward them without the slow students feeling left out? Any thoughts on that before?
Maybe reward them for having a percentage higher than last time instead of just 400.
Okay, thank you. That's very good. Yeah, I think we did that one year. We had some type of money system. We were raising money for something special, and each of them had their grade average from the previous year written on their desks. In fact, I didn't even write it. I gave them a paper with what it was, and I think all of them did it, like taped it onto their desk so they could see it, and they knew every time they got a grade higher than that, they could put some money in the jar. So, what else? What happens sometimes, like at the class table, when you have fast students and slow students in the same grade and you're there quizzing them with something? Okay, that's right. The fast ones always give the answers, or it can be that way. So don't let the fast ones give all the answers. Make sure you either have them take turns answering the questions or just randomly pick ones to answer questions. But you know, what would you then if the slow student doesn't know the answer? And this might depend on what kind of question you're asking, but if you're asking what is the capital of Tennessee and he doesn't know it, you could simply say, you know, okay, Austin, what's the capital of Tennessee? And then back to the slow student. Okay, what's the capital of Tennessee? And that they're just simply them repeating it, even if they didn't figure it out on their own, just repeating the right answer will help them to remember it. And they know they can't just be quiet and get out of working. We have to make sure we involve every student, and because they have to remember the answers as well. So make them, if you just skip over them every time, their tendency will be to, maybe they're scared of giving the wrong answer. They're scared of being laughed at. So that's a way you can keep them involved. Another interesting method that he uses in his book is by number tiles, like 1 through or 0 through 9, and each student might have a set of numbers 0 through 9, and then you can do mental math with them, or you can do various things with them, and then at the end of the problem, you say equals, and instead of calling on one student to give the answer, everyone raises their hand with the correct number tile that's the answer, so that everyone is giving the answer, and no one has to be embarrassed if they get it wrong. Everyone's participating. Everyone has to think through it, and you can just kind of quickly scan over and see which ones are correct. They only cost, I think, like $1. You can buy number tiles. You can get one for each of your students, and they can all participate. Mental math, or you could use it for history lessons. How many presidents were named James, and then take that number and add the number of states that start with T, and different things like that. And then you when you get to the end, you say equals, and everyone has the right number they can hold up. Another option might be to give them personal dry erase boards. We did that one year. We just bought some all little dry erase boards. So instead of having just one student or two students come to the chalkboard and do the work on the board, all of them have their own dry erase board, and they can all be working out the problem at the same time. And then it's not as noticeable if there's one student that's struggling and he's not, if you have all of them all come up and they all are working on a problem, and then, three of them get done and they go back to their desk maybe, or go back to the table, and then the last one is there standing struggling with this problem, and that can just make the problem worse. The idea is, again, if we can have them involved, have them working, but yet not embarrass them for being slow. Any other thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Process it, like I'm thinking math especially mm-hmm. when I did it. She used the word buzz, I used the word go.
Mm.
They all had to wait to say the answer until I said go, and then they all say it together.
Okay.
And then if you did, you kind of see when they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can see most of them got it, then
mm-hmm.
yeah. Sometimes you'd say it faster, sometimes you'd wait a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So just wait, ask the question, and wait a little bit until you think most of them have it, and then say go.
Mm-hmm. I've done something similar with flashcards.
Yeah, and the thing though with the slow student though, about giving them a reward at the end of the day, extra recess or something. Maybe sometimes you have to just have. Where you have everyone, everyone works together for a goal. Maybe perhaps you use the thing of getting, better grades than what you did last year. And when you reach a certain goal, then everyone gets the reward and gets rewarded together. But I think it's very important to not let somehow you have to keep your fast students busy, not let them, school is a place to work. School is a place to learn. And I know it's very tempting for teachers, I've been there, to just, hey, go out and play volleyball or something when they're done with their work. But that's not, their parents are paying us to teach them. So, we need to teach them things that are profitable, teach them things that can, I'm not saying you never do that, but I would try to limit it to maybe once a week. We would often have it to where that throughout the week, if you got finished with your goals, you got extra assignments, but then on Friday, when you finish your goals, then you could go out for extra recess or whatever, do free time. But during the week, you didn't do that, so that. And it was amazing how much work some of the slow students would do on Fridays. They knew that this was their chance to get caught up. So make sure you allow everyone to taste that reward sometimes, but don't give your fast students too much free time. They need to learn to work hard. And I know they'll fuss at you, but you just have to help them anyway. And again, if you can help them with things, do work that they enjoy, find out what their interests are, then that can help you out a lot as well. Any other questions or thoughts before we close?
One thing that I, on the slow students, that helped was just communication with parents.
Mm-hmm.
There was things going on in the home that I didn't know about where I probably needed a bad call, actually, in schoolwork.
Mm-hmm. Yes, parents can often tell us if we're being too hard on the student, or if they do have more time. That's a very good point. Remember, our main focus should not be what's going to make our lives easier. It's what will help the student the most. What's going to help the student? If you think about this student becoming a teacher someday, or becoming a school board member, or something like that, you know, what do they need to help them? Or the fast student, the same way, and even with the slow student, fast student in the same grade, we teachers like to have, you know, just three grades to teach or three classes to teach in math and whatever. But maybe you'll have to, and I forget who it was I was talking with, said that they have Christian Light or had Christian Light for some of their students and had Rod and Staff for others. I don't remember who it was, but, you know, you might have to do that. Have a separate class if you have a slower student versus a fast student. I know it's easier to keep them both in the same grade, but is that really what they need? Make sure you do what's going to help the student the most. And also, another thing, don't forget your average students as well. We spend a lot of time talking about the slow student or the fast student, but there's a lot of students that are average. Maybe they aren't either fast or slow, and they need your affirmation and attention as well. Let's not forget about them. Okay, thank you for your attention. You can consider yourself dismissed.